Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Hello, good evening. It's Ruby. I'm going to mute my phone.
Do you have any questions, Ruby? Anna, do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. I'm going to wait a few more minutes, see if anybody else comes on, and then we'll see if anybody has any questions.
Desmond.
Good evening.
Good evening, Hanok.
Do you have any questions, Jasmine?
Not really.
Okay. Well, we're going to...
Well, I have a question. Yes.
Okay.
Why did you... Can I say it now or later?
You can say it now.
Okay, why we didn't have Rosh Chodesh Tishrei?
You did.
We did?
Yeah. It's called Rosh Hashanah.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's a question I've had from many people over the years, so don't understand that it's very common because we don't think in terms of what is the meaning of Rosh Hashanah. It's really Rosh Chodesh for the month Tishrei, for the year, whereas the other 11 months Rosh Chodesh are just for the month.
Understood.
So as I was saying in our mini Zohar class, that if I would answer people's questions, but then we would use the time for to continue our teachings out of the Zohar. So if you go to the Yom Kippur landing page, which we've discussed a few times, so I'll just do it briefly. It's on the Revealed Wisdom matrix. The first row, the right-hand column, you go to the list of all of the parashas and scroll down towards the bottom, and you'll find a link to the landing page for Yom Kippur. And that opens up. We're basically reviewing Parashat Emor, section 34. And this is the fifth time we've done that this year. And we have reached Pasuk 246. So part 5 opens up to 244, but we covered a few verses, and I just didn't have time to give you a part 6. So we're starting with Pasuk 246, and we will start with a L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Barichu Ishkintei Bithilu Urchima Lutchilu Urchilu Urchima Le'akta L'shem Yudhei Bavavhei B'yichudach Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenei Aleinu Maasei Yadeinu Kunenehu Tachatzei Kol Hahu Yoma Mishtadal Ihu. Behahu Sa'ir kish kuchabarihu mika per lihu li Israel vida ke lon mikola vela ishta ka te goya kameya levatar uatein shabach lihu li Israel uken Shayilea Kada'a Vayomer Hashem El Hasatan Mein Me'ayin Tavo Altiv Petushbach Taehu The Israel the Kategora Itaved Sanegora And I did not mention, but we are trying to do these reviews, these Zohar classes, in a similar vein, on a deeper level, like we do with the mini Zohar classes. And you'll see what the difference is momentarily. Come and see. All that day, he busies himself with that goat. Then the Holy One, blessed be he, forgives Israel and cleanses them in every respect. And there is no prosecutor in his presence. He then comes and praises Israel. The Holy One, blessed be he, then asks him, as written. And Hashem said to the adversary, from where do you come? And he answers by praising Israel. The prosecutor turns into a defender and goes his way. My commentary. The defender is telling the truth at this point, since the children of Israel are cleansed. That is why he is able to go on his way. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Is it because he's satisfied because he has this portion?
The question is he's satisfied because of what, comma, you broke up?
That he has his portion.
Well, he receives the goat, and that is his portion. And that is what satisfies him. But because he receives the goat, he accepts the goat, and it satisfies him, he also is accepting all of the negative actions that are listed that were put on the goat by the hands of the high priest. So when Satan accepts the goat as his portion, he also accepted the sins, as we discussed earlier today.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, when he goes to accuse Israel, he's lying. And no one can be in that heavenly court who is lying. It separates you. That if you lie, you are sent away. We learn that there's a Zohar describing, I'm trying to remember the story in the prophets. Where someone has to fool King Ahab, I think it is. He has to lie to King Ahab in order to get him to do something so that he receives the effect of the spiritual court. And God says, who will do this? And no one wants to, because no one wants to leave the place of Hashem, and they know if they lie, they have to leave the court, they have to leave the presence of Hashem. Until there is one person who comes forward, who is the soul of the vineyard owner that was fooled by Jezebel. That you can go read that in I believe it's in Kings, the story of how Jezebel caused the death of this vineyard owner because he refused to sell to the king, and the king was sad that he couldn't own the vineyard. So Jezebel basically created a condition where she forced him to lose the vineyard, and the vineyard became the property of the king by virtue of the of that law at that time, and still today it would probably be if there was a king. But that the whole idea is that you cannot lie in the heavenly court. So now Hashem has accepted the sins, and he goes to point out that all of the sins of Israel, and it's a lie. So he has to go leave. But what it means to leave is he has to go immerse himself in the river Dinur, which is the river of fire, to cleanse himself, because that's what angels have to experience. They die, but their death is not permanent. They go through the river of fire, and it cleanses them of all things negative, and so they become reborn. So now Satan can come back in to be close to Hashem, but now, since he realizes the truth, Israel has been cleansed. Because Hashem, as the Zohar is saying, and we learn from the actual words in the Torah, when you look at and read them closely, Israel is cleansed on Yom Kippur. Therefore, Israel has no sins. And if Israel has no sins, they're tzaddikim. And the evil inclination in a righteous person, in a tzaddik, is strengthening and supporting the good inclination. That's the meaning of what happens. We as in between people, as Benoni is the term, as middle of the road, we have the two inclinations, and which one we listen to, the other one falls into line and has to then confirm what the one that we follow has said. So a righteous person who's only following the good inclination, the evil inclination has to confirm and support the good inclination. So that is what this verse in the Torah is explaining. And that is what the understanding, it's not that Satan because he's accepted the goat, because he's accepted his portion, it's because he's no longer the person who accepted the portion. He's had all of those cleansed from him in the river of fire, the river Dinur. I realize it's a very fine line, but it's important to understand it, so I hope it's clear. Did I lose you, Hannah?
No, not at all.
So if there aren't any other questions on 246, I'll go on to 247. But if somebody has a question, go ahead, Jasmine.
So we said that Satan was tricked with a goat.
It's not that he's tricked. If you read the earlier verses from today, So just to give, to bring, you know, kind of give a perspective on what we've been going through, because there's been so many different parts, so people may not have realized the flow. On Yom Kippur, the high priest takes, first he cleanses himself, he puts his own sins on the head of the goat, and then he does another ritual where he puts all of the sins of Israel on the head of the goat. And he sends that goat for Azazel. Nobody knows what Azazel is, what it means. There's just this ritual that is described in the Yom Kippur Musaf prayer, the additional prayer that is done after the Torah reading. And it's basically describing the high priest actions in the Holy of Holies, leading up to the Holy of Holies and then in the Holy of Holies. So you have these two goats. One is sent to Azazel with all of the sins of Israel, and one is sent as an olah, as a burnt offering, rising to God. And so the burnt offering leaves nothing to the negative system. It goes up to Hashem, and that burnt offering, based on that pleasing aroma to God, God grants atonement, at-one-ment, grants the forgiveness of all of the sins of Israel. And that's what this verse is essentially saying. Israel is now totally righteous. And this is what's taking place in the Holy of Holies. This is the action that the high priest is doing when he says the name of God. And that he had already sacrificed the goat on the outer altar. Now he comes into the Holy of Holies and does the ritual. And I mean, there's lots of issues. There's lots of understandings in the, you know, like the eight pieces of clothing represent different negative actions that people do, that by the high priest wearing that garment and then going into the Holy of Holies and doing what he does there, it cleanses and forgives all of those actions that are described by that, what that clothing has done. As one example is the headdress or the turban that he wears on his head is cleansing all of the negative thoughts that anybody in the children of Israel had during that year. And I don't remember what all of the other seven pieces of clothing represent, but they all have something to do with different negative actions. So it's not that Satan was tricked. But Satan is a reactive being. His essence is reactivity. That's what the meaning of desire to receive for oneself alone is. It's reactions. So Satan says, "Oh, I got a goat. I have my sacrifice. This is what I'm doing, and I'm happy with it." And so then he's now come into the presence of God, having accepted his goat with all of its sins, and he starts accusing Israel. He starts accusing individuals of it within the nation of Israel. But those sins are no longer on those human beings. They've been transferred to the goat, who, once accepted by Satan, those sins are now Satan's. And Satan starts to accuse Israel, and that's a lie because they're no longer on Israel. And so he has to leave the presence of God. He has to leave the court. He goes into the fire, in the river of fire. He gets totally cleansed. And now he comes back, but now he knows he has to tell the truth. And so he's praising Israel because Israel is righteous. All of those sins have been burned up in the river of fire. They're not on Israel anymore. It's not fooling him, but his reactivity to being given something, that's what it's acceptable to him. After 5,000 years, you'd think he'd got the idea and he would say, hey, I don't need to do this year. But that's not the way the system is. Because
that's
he's reborn,
point.
But he's reborn in the river of fire. So it's not the same Satan.
Mm.
He's a newborn baby in the new year.
Okay, that was my point. Because if he does it every single year for so many, you know, 5,077 years, what is he doing it, you know, doing the same thing every year?
Hasn't he learned? And the answer is he's learned. He's learned because he's newborn. So each year there's a new Satan. He doesn't have the memories from before.
Okay. Thank you.
Verse 247. Kedain kudshabarihu amar lishavin darin desaharin ursayayo kamitun mahai dil Torah. Hey, Afkaim, Albane Tadir, Hashayar, Seyar, Tada de Ishtaka, Gabeya, the Fitka, the call of Ihu, the call to Abatihu, the call Madihatu. Bechavu kamei, behu kabil lom kedein, istakamu kulu, piachad run inun, bovin alameya. The Holy One, blessed be He, then says to the 70 ministers that surround His throne, the secret of the celestial courthouse. Have you seen this slanderer, how he is always about to slander my children? Behold, there is a goat by him with a note with all of their iniquities, all their abominable acts, and all that they sinned and transgressed before me. But he accepted them upon himself. They all agree that then these iniquities go back on his people. My commentary. The 70 angelic ministers act as the Sanhedrin in the higher worlds. They confirm the decree upon the nation of Edom, and then it is delayed until the end times. Since Hashem has confirmed mercy upon the children of Israel, it is Israel's obligation to request mercy on the children of Esau. There is much to learn from these pasukim. Questions, comments, thoughts? Nobody has any questions, so I'll go on to 248, to the next pasuk. I just want to make a comment. You see the difference when there's a question, when there's comments. You see how much deeper we go and understand because of those questions and comments. And that's what we are doing in the mini Zohar classes. And what the regular Zohar classes are done just like we did with verse 247. I read the verse, I read the Aramaic, I read the translation, and I read my commentary. And then we go on to the next. How much difference is your depth of understanding when the question gets asked? So I invite everyone to join us for the mini Zohar classes, which are 3 days a week, Monday, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays at the 7:30 time frame. Verse 248. Rabbi Abba Amar, Kol Inun Chovin V'chatayin Mitabekin Be'ya Kimadiki V'tashlich V'imtsulot Yam Kol Hatotam Ubatar kuhu mitchadran mereshechom diameya haidiktiv benasa asair alav et kol avonotam el eretz gezera b'chayoma mitatar kachana Yatrin Ilaim, the Hukaim Ben Ilae, with Tatae Taper, Alea Vial Betea, Vial Kahane, Vial Makdisha, Vial Yisrael Kulu. Rabbi Abba said, all the iniquities and sins first are attached to him, as written, and you will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Then they return upon the heads of his people, as written, and the goat shall bear upon it all their iniquities to a barren land. On that day the priest is adorned with lofty crowns and is situated between the higher and the lower. He atones for him, for his household, for the priests, the temple, and the whole of Israel. My commentary. The five items mentioned are the five steps of creation: Keter, Chachma, Bina, Zerantin, and Malchut. Questions, comments, thoughts.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Who is our high priest now in these days?
You don't remember the verse in the Torah that Israel is a nation of priests?
Yes.
So who is the king of Israel?
Hashem.
But isn't there a king in the lower world?
Adonai?
No. Mashiach ben David.
Okay.
The government of Israel consists of three components. There is a political leader, which is the king, Mashiach ben David. There is a spiritual leader, which is the high priest. And then there is the third component is the Sanhedrin, the judges. And they rule together. No one is totally independent of the others. Is there a high priest in our world today? Yes. It will be Mashiach ben David who will have both aspects of the high priesthood and the king. He will have the political authority and he will have the spiritual authority. But the third element, that of the Sanhedrin, will be composed of all of the righteous people of the generations. They will be the members of the Sanhedrin. Pasuk 249, unless there's another question. Ka na besata ve'al gadama dafar mekaven b'pesha im hem nuta ve'ade be'et be'eya kema diktiv v'chiza oto al hakaporet v'lifnei hakaporet v'hech aved v'asim v'kafta v'etzba'a v'yadei k'matzlif v'tifin v'etzba'a v'sitre kaftura ade v'it kevan v'shari l'mimne achat achat v'achat achat bilchodaha achat dekalil kola achat shevacha dekola achat dekola achat ran l'kabela achat resha dekola levatar achat v'achat v'inun sharyan kachada biruta v'ach ach vavta v'lamit parshan le'almin. We learn that when the priest entered with the bullock's blood, he meditated on the top of the faith, top of faith, namely the first three sephirot, Keter, Hakba, and Bina. And he sprinkled it with his finger, as it is written, and sprinkled it upon the covering, and before the covering. That is one above and seven below. How did he do that? He dipped the fingertip in blood and sprinkled the drops as if swinging a whip at the side of the ark, at side of the ark covering. He did not let the drops fall on the covering itself, but at its side, and the drops fell on the ground. He sprinkled and concentrated and started counting. One, which includes everything. One, which is the most valuable. One to which everything turns. One that is at the top, namely the Sephirah Keter. Next is one and one, which are Hakba and Bina, that dwell together willingly in brotherhood and never separate from each other. My commentary. Learn this connection well. When you hear, when you say the word one, meditate on Keter. When you hear the phrase one and one, meditate on Hakma and Bina and their unity and their zivug. Questions, comments, thoughts? Pasuk 250. Batar de mata de chai viachat de hi yo ima de kola mikan shari lemine de zivuga umane viamar. Ahat lushtaim, ahat v'shalosh, ahat v'arba, ahat v'chamesh, ahat v'ashesh, ahat v'sheva, v'gin liam shaka, u'nagda, lehai ahat, v'hi yo ima ila'a, v'dar gin yedian, l'kitra d'ima, Tata ulam shaka, naharin amikin, me atrehu. Luki viad yomadatiren, nehorin naharin kahada. Ima ila nahara, le ima tata viaoda kitiv. Yeah, upon reaching An-1, which is the mother of everything, namely Bina, he starts counting from here, from Bina, by joining the counting and saying 1 and 2, namely joining Bina with 2, Chesed and Givurah, 1 and 3. Joining Bina to Chesed, Givurah, and Tiferet. 1 and 4, joining Bina to Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, and Netzach. 1 and 5, joining Bina to Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, Netzach, and Hod. 1 and 6, joining Bina to Chesed, Givurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. 1 and 7, joining Bina to Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, Netzach, Chod, Yesod, and Malchut. In order to draw and guide the One, which is the Supernal Ima, namely Bina, through specific grades mentioned above, to the Keter of the lower Ima, which is Malchut, and draw the deep rivers, the lights of Bina, from their place upon the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut. Therefore, on that day, two lights shine together, which are the supernal Ima that illuminates the lower Ima, Bina to Malchut. Hence it is written, Yom Kippur in the plural, as we said. My commentary. Continue to learn this well and meditate as is taught in this Zohar Pasuk. This process is unifying everything, since there is nothing outside of these 7 in the physical world. And the Keter of the physical, which is Malchut, is completely unified with Bina, as can be realized from this Pasuk. Questions, comments, thoughts? It is pretty powerful, isn't it? Pasuk 251. Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Kif tera chada kashira, tera glo dekahana. Veshata dehawa al dai amut hatam yachtuhu milvar uvma yade vehahu zehorita it yada veishtamoda kadla yapech Gav no behahio Yesha ata ishta moda dekach ana ishtakach v'goy b'chata v'ipok v'bishlam b'sorita it yada v'ishta moda v'yehafech gavno v'hivar kiden hadvavta Iyo b'ilae, v'tatae v'ilav kulu, ishtakachu b'tzara v'chavo yade, kola dila itkabalu delotchon. Rabbi Yitzhak said, a chain was tied to the feet of the high priest when he entered the Holy of Holies, so that if he dies there, they will take him out, since it is forbidden to enter there. How did they know whether he was alive or not? By a crimson-colored strap. If its color did not turn white, it was known at that time that the priest was there in sin. And if he came out in peace, it was known and recognized by the crimson strap that turned white. Then there is joy among the higher and lower beings. If not, they were all in sorrow, and all knew that their prayer was not accepted. My commentary. The mother of the high priest would go to the city of refuge, to the cities of refuge, and give food and beg that the person responsible for the accidental deaths not pray for the death of her son, since they would go free if he would die. Also, the chain could not have been metal, but cloth, since metal, iron, was used as a tool of war and death. Questions, comments, thoughts? Pasuk 252. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Kewan Dechawa Al Vatim Tem Eino Dila Leistachla Bima Dila Itzterich Wachawa Shama Kol Gad Fe Geruv Yayo Mizamre Shabache Hawa Yada Kahana Dikola Hawad Bechedva Vayipok Bishlam Vim called Abitzloteya Hawa Yada Demilin Nafkin Behevavta umit kabelan, umit barkan kadka, yaut ukdein hevavta, iyo beilae, betatae. Rabbi Yehuda said, once he entered, he closed his eyes so as not to look where he shouldn't. When he heard the sound of the wings of the cherubs singing and praising, the high priest would know that everything is in joy and went out in peace. With all that, through his prayer, he would know, since the words came out of his mouth in joy and were properly accepted and blessed. Then joy abounded among the higher and the lower beings. My commentary. May it be so in this world this year. May we all say Amen and meditate on the unity of Hashem and Adonai. Yo ahe dawa nu he yo. Questions, comments, thoughts. And thank you, Jasmine, for the Amen. I'm sure others said it in their muted phones.
Can you say, what do you say at the end? The name of Hashem?
What does that name look like to you? Look at every other letter.
For me, UKBK.
And then if you look at every other letter starting with the Aleph, what do you see?
You mean the extended name with Aleph?
Yeah, look at, start with the Aleph and do every other letter.
I cannot picture it right now. I maybe need to write it down.
It's Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. The unity of Hashem and Adonai is the shiluv, the interspersing, the intermixing of the two names into one. When you mix the letters, when you unify the letters in this way with the shiluv tool, you are creating unity between whatever you intermix.
Okay.
In a Sephardic prayer book, we say, you see the letters Yud Heh Vav Heh. You say Adonai, and then I have been teaching you to also say Yoheh Waheh. But the full meaning, the full statement in a Sephardic prayer book is this eight-letter name that you're looking at, this unity of Hashem and Adonai, that is printed right next to, in smaller letters, to the Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. And in the last Heh, in smaller letters, is printed Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. And when the time comes, when they give me permission, when they tell me, I will start changing this, what we say of Yoheh Vaheh, to be Ahe Yo Ahe Da Wanu He Yo. The world isn't ready for that. We're not ready for that. Or they would have given me permission to do that already. But the reason I say Yoheh Waheh is to begin that process of revealing the light of the unity of Hashem with Adonai, which is, what does it represent? It represents the unity of Malchut with Zeranpin.
Malchut will be Adonai and Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh will be Zeranpin, isn't it?
Correct. Pasuk 253. Rabbi Elazar. Sha'al Rabbi Shimon Avo. Al hayoma amai. Ubehai atar tale. Bila bedarga achara. Ye o tule mecheve, bidarga de malka shari, yatir mikola amarlea, Rabbi Shimon Elazar, Beri Haki Hu Vadai, Viaucha Alta. Rabbi Elazar asked Rabbi Shimon, his father, why does this day of Yom Kippur originate in that place, in Bina, as Malchut, the secret of the left, ascends to Bina, instead of from another place? It would have been appropriate for it to be of the grade where the king dwells the most, namely that she would unite with her husband, Zeranpin, the secret of the right. And Rabbi Shimon said to him, my son Elazar, surely it is so that it should come from Bina, and you have asked well. My commentary. The reason has to do with the idea of building the vessel while Zeranpin is still in Dormita, in sleep. This is what allows Malchut to rise to Bina. Questions, comments, thoughts. You cannot tell me that you feel comfortable, that you understand what was said in that verse, or that my commentary makes sense to you.
Yeah, you're right. It doesn't make like too much sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. Remember, there are 23 days of holidays, right?
Right.
And if we forget about the second day of the, it's really 22 days of holidays. And we know that the first 10 days, Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, were building the vessel. And how can you build the vessel of Malchut if you have to go through Zeranpin? Bina gave birth to two children. One is called Zeranpin. It's a male. One is called Malchut. It's a female. What is the vessel we're trying to build on the new year? Remember, the night of Rosh Hashanah, we all died, God forbid. All of our energy from last Rosh Hashanah ran out. We have a brand new vessel. It's a new year, it's a new us. That's what Rosh Hashanah is, the judgment of the new vessel, the judgment of Malchut. How does Malchut get built to a bigger vessel? If the energy flows through Zeranpin, Malchut is not growing. It's just being fulfilled by whatever Zeranpin can fulfill it with. But what happens on Rosh Hashanah? We all die, God forbid. But Zeranpin, the male, goes to sleep. Which means male and female are no longer unified. They are now again the same as Adam and Eve when they were first created together, back to back. That's what Dormita means. Adam is asleep. And in order for him to have Eve turn and be separated and become his wife, he has to be put to sleep so that she can grow to his level and then be turned and separated and become his wife. That's what the 10 days of Rosh Hashanah, between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are all about. We're building the vessel, our vessel for the year. We're building the vessel. We are the Malchut. We are the children of Israel, who is the Malchut. And we're back to back with Zeranpin, who is the male. Now comes Yom Kippur, and we need to move side to side. We need to be able to go face to face. Now you understand what the holiday of Sukkot is. The energy of Chesed. We've built the vessel, now we can draw that energy of mercy, that energy of Chesed, of love. That's what the 7 days, actually the 11 days, the 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, the 7 days of Sukkot. So now we have 10 days, and 11 days is 21, and the 22nd day is the central column, which is Simchat Torah. The combination of Shmini Atzeret and Simchat Torah, but it becomes confusing when we try and look at it that way. But that's what the Zohar is telling us. Rabbi Elazar is saying, if it's the energy is coming from Bina, why is it coming directly to Malchut from Bina? Why doesn't it flow through Zeranpin also? And that's why Rabbi Shimon says it's a good question. So let's go to verse 254 and see what the answer is. Tachati malka dekadisha. Shavike kaleya uveteya bida imatronita vishavak leave no ima begin ledabira lonu mishre begat begavaihu the izakan matronita. Halat b'ched b'avta b'ikara l'gabe malka b'ilo zakan hiyo b'inun itchadaru b'galuta b'haukmu okimna imadiki b'shaded Av Yavrim Riach Aim Utilu Fishem Shulchaim Chem. He answers, come and see. The holy king left his temple and house in the hand of the matron, Malchut, and left his children with her in order for her to guide them, strike them, and dwell among them if they are worthy. The matron enters joyfully and honorably to the king. If they are not worthy, she and they are returned into exile. We already explained this, as it is written, a son of scandalous and shameful ways shall ruin his father and drive his mother away, chasing her into exile, and for your transgressions was your mother put away. My commentary. Please realize that it is your consciousness that will return you to exile or cause your redemption. Which do you prefer? Remember that redemption is a spiritual one and does not mean you need to leave the land where you live. You can return to Israel as a consciousness. Please choose the redemption this year. Please, for yourself and for others as well. Questions, comments, thoughts? Verse 255. I'm trying to finish this tonight before the Tikkuni Zohar class. V'al da'it yoma ad b'shata le'ashkecha v'hu al ana v'hu v'kad az diman hay yoma ima ila'a dekal cheru v'daha iz diman Ikav leya leista achla, behu be Israel, be Israel yais de razu, behayoma bekama, uchanin bekama tzilotin, bekama yinuyin, kuhu biskuta, yedain is de man lehu cheru. Me atar de kol cheru, v'idaha umatronita, b'nei amalka b'naha, v'it pakdan b'idaha, kuhu zakayin, kuhu bilahatan, bilachovin k'den izdavgat, Legabe Malka, in Hiru Bechedba, Vishlimu Biruta, Yaharabiat Benin Limalka, Ila Akadka, Yaut. Therefore, there is one day in the year to look at them and observe their deeds. When that day comes, Supernal Imam, Bina, has in her hands all kinds of freedom, namely the Malchin of the illumination of Chachma, clothed in Chasadim, the secret of freedom. They subjugate all the Klipot and cause them to flee. She comes toward it that day to observe Israel, namely to bestow plenty upon them. And Israel hasten on that day with many kinds of worship and prayers, and many afflictions, all of them meritorious. Then freedom comes upon them from the place where all freedom exists, in the hand of the matron, Malchut. This means that Malchut rises to Bina and receives all the freedom from Bina. The king's children, Israel below, her children who were trusted in her hands are all meritorious, without sins or iniquities. She then joins the king in light, joy, perfection, and goodwill, because she raised proper children to the king. That is, she cleaves to the right before Israel, receives purity and freedom from Bina. Malchut cannot unite with Zerampin and receive the right from him. This set settles the question of his son, Rabbi Elazar. My commentary. No comment needs to be said, since it is all clear in this pasuk, in my opinion. Questions, comments, thoughts? Pasuk 256. Vikad hayomala ishtakahu kaka yaut Vavilon bavili shluchehom Vavideham matronita Itrachakat min malta Ve'ima ila'a Istalakat vila nafik Mine mina Hey Ruli Almin Zaka in Inun Yisrael de Kuchabarihu Olif Lon Orho Begin Le Ishta Zava Mindinav de Ishtahon De Ishtahun Zaka in Kamea Ahidiktiv ki bayom hazeh Yekaper alechem Etaher etchem Ukiv vizarakti Alechem mayim Tehorim utchartem Mikol tumotechem Wigomer. When that day is not proper, woe to them, to Israel. Woe to their messenger, the high priest. Woe to the matron who is distanced from the king. The supernal Ima, Bina, is gone, and no freedom comes from her to the worlds. Happy are Israel, whom the Holy One, blessed be He, taught His ways, so as to be saved from judgment and to be meritorious before Him. This is the meaning of, for on that day will He forgive you to cleanse you. And then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses. My commentary. The corollary to this teaching is that of the astrological influences. This day of freedom can only happen in the month of Tishrei, and that is why it is called Tishrei, meaning my gift. Questions, comments, thoughts. In about 20 minutes, we will have a Tikkuni Zohar class. I hope you'll return and join us for that. As you contemplate these verses, feel free to ask other questions. Give me a call, or we'll be doing the additional Zohar classes tomorrow. Our classes tomorrow, again, will be four, one at 7:30 a.m., which is the Slichot ritual. And I may have to leave that one early, depending on when my appointment arrives. Then there's a class at 4:30, all times are West Coast times, and that's the mini Zohar class. And we will start the next link on the Yom Kippur page at that time. And then at 7 o'clock, we will have the continuation of that Zohar from the Parasha of Pinchas. I believe it's section 134, but that's by memory. I'm not looking at it right now. And then next tomorrow night at 8:30 will be a Tikkuni Zohar class. And I remind you that our last full Slichot will be Friday morning. If anybody is interested in having me perform Kaparot, the swinging of the chickens, so except that we utilize money, feel free to send me the names by email. and indicate the amount of the donation you'll be including whenever you decide to include it, if you do. And I will be doing that early in the morning, Friday morning, probably around 3 a.m., maybe 4 a.m., depends on how late I stay up that night to study. Are there any questions?
No, but thank you.
Thank you. You all have a beautiful evening. Shalom to all.
Shalom. Good night.
Good night.